Okay, so we are up to Nun Hey Amud Aleph, the fourth line. Okay? So the Mishnah said, we saw this Mishnah yesterday, the Mishnah said, Uvisar Hamis, we spoke about Dam Nida, and today we're going to talk about flesh from a corpse. But the Mishnah said, it's Matami, whether it's moist or whether it's dry. So the Gemara asks Manolan, Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Kra, L'chol Tumaso, L'chol Tumos HaPorshos Mimenu. So according to Reish Lakish, the source that flesh from a corpse is Matami, whether it's moist or dry, is the fact that the Pasuk says, L'chol Tumaso, implying anything that comes off the body, whether it's moist or whether it's dry, is Matami. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ove Etzem Adam Ove Kaver. He has a different source. In Parshas Chukas, the Pasuk says, when it's discussing the halachos of Tumas Mis, so the Torah says, Ove Etzem Adam Ove Kaver, that a person's Matami with his bones, or becover inside of a, in other words, inside of a grave. So adam dumya de etzem, ma etzem yavish, afkan yavish. So just as bones are dry, so too flesh from a corpse which is dry is metame. So the Gemara asks, my binayu, what's the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? They both agree to the same halacha that dry flesh from a corpse is metame. So ika binayu de ifrach ifruche, the nafkamina would be if the flesh got so dry to the point that it started to crumble. According to Reish Lakish, that would still be metame because he holds anything that comes off of a corpse is metame, no matter how dry it is. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it has to resemble a bone, and a bone doesn't crumble. A bone, even though it's dry, it doesn't crumble. So that would be the nafkamina. So the Gemara asks, meisvei besar hameis shehufrach tahor. But the Braisa says that if you have flesh from a corpse that's starting to crumble, that's tahor. So doesn't that seem to go against what Reish Lakish just said? The Gemara says, no. Hasam de akmach v'have efra. That flesh got so dry to the point that it basically turned into dust. Because it turned into dust, it lost the classification of being considered flesh anymore. That's why it's not metame, and therefore everyone would agree, including Rabbi Yochanan, that it would not be metame in that case. So the Gemara now asks, Meisvei kol shebe meis metame chutz menashinayim b'haser b'hatziporen uveshas chiburan hakol tame. So comes another brisa and says the following, that every part of a dead body is metame with the exception of the teeth, the hair, and the nails, assuming that they're not currently attached to the dead body. But if they're attached, then all of them are metame. The question is, how could you say that the teeth, when they're not attached, are not metame? Both according to Rabbi Yochanan and according to Reish Lakish, they should be metame. According to Reish Lakish, they should be metame because Reish Lakish says everything from a corpse is metame. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the teeth are no different than bones. They should be metame just as bones are metame. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rava de Barava, dumya de etzem. It has to resemble bones in the following way. Ma etzem shenivra imo, afkol shenivra imo. Just as bones are part of a person when they're born, so too, in order for something to be metame, it has to be part of you when you're born. When you're born, you don't have teeth, and therefore teeth are not metame after you die. So the Gemara says, okay, what about v'ha'ika seir v'tziporin shenivru imo u'tahorin? But when you're born, you have hair and you have nails, and yet the Braisa said that those things are not metame. So the Gemara says, no. Ela amar rava de barava dumya de etzem. Ma etzem shenivru imo v'ein gizo machlif. Af kol shenivru imo v'ein gizo machlif. Yatsu ha'shinayim shelo nivru imo. Yatsu seir v'tziporin sha'afal pi shenivru imo gizo machlif. The Gemara says that there are actually two criteria. There are two areas of halacha in which the part of the dead body has to resemble a bone. One is, as we said before, it has to be there at the time that the baby is born. But the second factor is called gizo machlif, meaning to say that, in other words, that if the item regenerates, if it grows back after it's removed, so then that's not metame. So, for example, when you cut your nails, when you cut your hair, it's going to grow back eventually. So, in other words, that's why it's not metame, as opposed to a bone. If a bone is lost, it's never going to grow back. So that's why a bone is metame. So that's why these three things, the teeth are not metame because the person's not born with teeth, and hair and nails are not metame because they're eventually going to grow back. So the Gemara now wants to know, vahare or the gizo machlif, what about when it comes to skin, right? So skin is something which the Gemara assumes can grow back, and we'll see that in the second version, the Gemara is actually going to debate this point, but at least at this stage, the Gemara assumes that skin can grow back. Utnan in the Mishnah and Chulin says, Hagluda, what's the status of an animal whose skin was removed? In other words, is that animal considered a trefa? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah and Chulin daf Nun Dalet. Rabbi Meir Machshir, Vachachamim Poslin. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim regarding the status of an animal whose skin was removed, whether or not we call that a trefa. And the Gemara explains, Va'afilu Rabbanan lo kapasle, Ela da'ada hachi va'hachi shalad ba'avira v'amesa, uliolum gizomachlif. Even the Rabbanan, who claim that this animal whose skin is removed is really a treifa, the Rabbanan only say that for a technicality, meaning they assume that during the interim that it takes, you know, during that time that it takes for the skin to regenerate, maybe some sort of a wind, some sort of an air is going to come and cause the animal to die before its skin grows back. But fundamentally, they agree with Rabbi Meir that eventually the skin will regenerate. And yet, Vitanina, the Mishnah later in Chulin, Daf Kuf Chav Bei says, Elu she'oroseyan kevisaran or ha'adam. One of the things the Mishnah in Chulin says, where the flesh and the skin, or the meat and the skin are similar, is the flesh of a human being, which implies that skin is in fact metame, but the problem is if skin is something which regenerates, doesn't that go against the rule that we just developed before, that the only way something can be metame is if, number one, you were born with it, which obviously is true for skin, but number two, it has to be something which will not grow back if it's removed, which is not the case when it comes to skin, as the Gemara just proved.
So unlike everybody here, I don't remember everything included.
Okay. Yeah.
When they say the skin of the animals moved, they talking the
it was flayed. It was flayed. Well, seemingly, it sounds like from the word gluda means that the skin was like flayed. It was cut off. Again, it's not clear if it was the whole thing or part of it. But either, in other words, if enough skin was removed, where in theory the animal could have been affected by that, that would potentially qualify it as a treifa. Okay, so the Gemara says no. Ha'id marala amar ula dvar Torah or adam tar. So comes Ula and says that really you're right. Really, mida oraisa skin is not in fact metame. So the question is umay taima amru tame. So why do the chachamim decree tuma mida rabbanan on skin? So the Gemara says something very strange. Gzeira shemayasa adam oros ave v'imo shtichen lachamor. There was this concern, which the Gemara talks about this in other places, that people were going to take the skin of their parents after they died and make them into rugs for donkeys. I'm not exactly sure why that was a thing that people did, or in other words, like a saddle or something for a donkey, a blanket, a rug, whatever it was. So in other words, either way, because of this extra tangential concern, the Chachamim made a gezeira derabbanan, but mida oraisa. The Gemara says, right, skin is not metame mida oraisa. So that fits well with the shaka of the Tarav Gemara. But now the Gemara has another version which says the exact opposite of what we just said. V'ika da'amre, hare or de'in gizo machlef. The second version assumes that skin cannot regenerate. Now again, this is like a biological thing. Again, I don't know how there could be a machlokas about whether skin grows back or not, but that's what the Gemara is assuming. The second version assumes that skin cannot grow back. And what's the support for that idea? The Mishnah, that same Mishnah we quoted before from Chulin Daf Nun Daled. Utanan v'chachamim poslin. Remember, the chachamim were the ones who said that an animal who lost its skin is a treifa. V'afilu Rabbi Meir lo kamachshar ela dekar bisra v'chaya uliolam in gizo machlef. And even Rabbi Meir, who said that animal was not a treifa, he only said that because he thought that in the interim, when the animal lost its skin, so some sort of a wind, this is the exact opposite of what we said before, would cool off the animal and cause it to heal, but fundamentally he agrees with the Chachamim that skin cannot regenerate. So this is the exact opposite of the first version of the Gemara. The Amar Ula, Dvar Torah, or Adam Tahar. And again, Ula once again tells us that Mida Oraisa, human skin, cannot be metame. So again, now we're stuck with the same problem we had before, but this is from the opposite perspective. So the Gemara says, no, ki itmar de'ula aseifa, itmar ula's comment that human skin is tahar was actually referring to the last half of that brisa, which says the following, v'chulan she'ibdan, o she'hilech bahem kidei avoda tahorin, chutz me'or adam. The brisa continues and says, let's say you took skin and you tanned it, you processed it, or you trod on the skin enough that it could have theoretically been processed. The brisa says, then the skin is no longer metame, with the exception of human skin. Human skin, even if it's processed and tanned, it's still going to be metame. V'amar ula, dvar Torah, or adam ki avdo tahar, mida oraisa. When you process, when you tan human skin, it should be tahar, just like regular animal skin will be when you process it. Umatam amru tame. So why do Chazal feel it necessary to decree processed human skin tame? Gzera shemayasa adam or avivimu shtichen. So here, again, the only difference in the second version and the first version is that the Gemara adds the fact of processing the skin. In the first version of the Gemara just assumed that mido oraisa skin is a human skin is always tar, and there's some gzera derabanan of not making your parents' skin into a rug or whatever, into a blanket, that's the reason why it's tami mido rabanan. Here, the Gemara assumes that regular skin, even mido rabanan, is not metame, regular human skin. It's only when it's processed that the the Gemara says that's why there was this Gzera Derabanan, to say that processed human skin is still Matame, but if it wasn't processed, then it's still going to be tar. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, V'harei basar de'gizo machlif etame. So what about flesh? In other words, this whole Gemara up until now was talking about skin. Now, what about the flesh, the meat of the animal or of the person? So the assumption is that the flesh is going to regenerate, and yet we said that the flesh is metame. But how could that be? Didn't we say before that one of the criteria is that it has to be something which is in gizo machlif? So the Gemara says, Amar mar baravashi basar nase mikomut salekas. The Gemara says, even though the flesh will eventually regenerate, but it leaves a scar in its place. So because there's a scar there, it's not a perfect regeneration, and therefore it could still be metame. Okay, then the Mishnah continued. The Mishnah said, Aval Hazov. We listed a number of things in the Mishnah. Ziva, a spit, mucus, a sheretz, and a vela, shechazera. All those things were only metame when they're moist, but not when they're dry. So the Gemara asks, Zov Menal. And how do we know that Ziva is only metame when it's moist and not when it's dry? Desanya, Zovo Tame, Limed Al Hazov Shehu Tame. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Zovo Tame. You see that Ziva is metame, meaning it has to be moist in order for it to be metame. So asks the Gemara, Vahalo Dinhu? Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that Ziva is metame? Seemingly, it's a kal v'chomer. It's logical. We actually have quoted this kal v'chomer a number of times in the past already in this Masechta. The Gemara says, La'acherim gorim tuma li'atzma lo kol shekein. If Ziva can make the person who emits the Ziva tame as a zav, so then the Ziva itself, of course, is going to be tame when it touches something. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good kal v'chomer. Why? Because Seir ha'mishtaleach yochiach shegorim tuma li'acherim v'hu atzma utor. What about the Seir la'azazel on Yom Kippur? The person who takes the Seir La'azazel, the Ish-Iti who takes him out to the Midbar, himself becomes Tameh, and yet the Seir La'azazel remains Tohar. So the Gemara points out, Afata Altismal Zen, you shouldn't wonder about this, She'afal Pisha Gorim Tumali Achirim Hu Atzmo Tor. One could have argued, just because Ziva makes a person into a Zav, maybe the Ziva itself is not Tameh, just as the parallel case by the Seir La'azazel. Just because the guy who carries him out is Tameh.
Why don't we just say the Seir La'azazel is a Kenzer Sakasov?
Well, I mean, all of this is Xeris Akasav. Everything here is Xeris Akasav. I mean, the fact that a person becomes a Zav is Xeris Akasav. Yeah.
Why is the Ziva that comes out of the person Xeris Akasav? You're trying to determine whether it. Once it gets emitted.
We're trying to determine the status of the Ziva itself. In other words, the person is definitely Tame. That's not a question. The question is, what about the Ziva? So the Gemara says, why do I need a Pasuk to teach me that the Ziva is Metame? In other words, I have a simple Kavachomer. If a guy becomes Tame when he emits Ziva, so the Ziva itself should certainly be Tame, right?
So what's the Pasuk?
The Pasuk was Zovo Tame. That's how this Gemara started out, right? Zovo Tame teaches me that Ziva is Metame. The Gemara asks, why do I need a Pasuk? Isn't it just logical? So the Gemara says, no, it's not logical because we have the case of the Seir La'azazel. So therefore, the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Zovo Tameh, Limed Al-Azov Shehu Tameh. So that's why we need a Pasuk to dispel that notion that maybe the Seir La'azazel would have refuted my Kal V'chomer. Therefore, I need a Pasuk to teach me that Ziva itself is Metame. Okay.
When you have such an explicit Pasuk, it says Zovo Tameh. No.
It's the opposite. Meaning the Gemara is asking, why did I need this pasuk at all? Meaning, why did the Torah have to bother writing this if I could have figured it out on my own? And the answer is, I couldn't have figured it out on my own because the Seir La'azazel would have refuted my logic.
I know, but it seems backwards. It seems like, okay, the Torah says so.
Well, the Gemara does this all the time. The Gemara will try to figure out why we need a pasuk X if we could have figured this out without a pasuk.
Sometimes the psukim are not so explicit.
Okay.
So you're drawing inference from it, but here it's like...
This Gemara is kind of working backwards a little bit. It's saying, why did I need a pasuk at all if I could have figured it out logically? The answer is, I couldn't have figured it out logically, therefore I needed the pasuk.
There is no logic.
Well, there's logic, it's just the logic would have been refuted because of the Seir La'azazel. Yeah.
That's why
the Seir La'azazel, a human being walks it out.
Okay, I mean, that's true. You're right. You're right, but
it's only when it leaves the person. So I don't see the parallel.
It's a good point. As my Rebbe in YU, Rav Sobolowski, always says, sometimes things are true but irrelevant. Meaning, the fact that Ziva is part of the person and the Zav is the same person where the Ziva came out from, and the Seir La'azazel and the person carrying him are two different people, it's true. But it might not have any bearing on halacha, and it's clear that it doesn't because the Gemara clearly assumed that that would have been a valid refutation, right? So, meaning, you're right, those conceptually they're not identical, but just because they're not identical doesn't mean that we couldn't have drawn you know, an inference from it, potentially. Okay, so now the Gemara continues to question this. The Gemara now wonders, well, maybe this concept of tuma for ziva should should be limited only to touching it. Meaning, if I touch ziva, I become tame, implying that if I carry ziva without touching it, perhaps I should not become tame, just as we find in the halachas of a sheretz, right? By a sheretz, you're only tame if you touch a sheretz, not if you carry the sheretz. So says the Gemara, no. Amar of bivi barabaye, bimaga lo itchtrich kra, de lo gara mishich vazera. It's obvious that touching ziva makes you tame, because why wouldn't it make you tame? If you touch shechva zera, you become tame. So how could ziva possibly be any less than shechva zera? So therefore, the Gemara says ki itchtrich kra lemasa. You need the pasuk to teach me that ziva has an additional chumra on top of shechva zera, namely that it's also metame when you carry it. So the Gemara asks ve'ima b'masa metame adam uvegadim b'maga adam metame begadim lo letame midi dahava maga nevela. So now the Gemara suggests another possibility. Maybe we should argue that when it comes to ziva, yes, it's true that ziva is metame whether you touch it or carry it, but maybe there should be a difference in terms of the level of tuma depending on whether you're touching it or carrying it. Namely, if you only touch it, then you become tame, but not your clothing. Whereas if you carry ziva, not only do you become tame, but the clothing you're wearing become tame as well, even if the clothing didn't come into contact with the ziva, just as we find a parallel halacha when it comes to touching a nevela. If you touch a nevela, so you become tame, but not your clothing. But if you carry a nevela, then not only do you become tame, but your clothing become tame as well. So why don't we suggest this halacha that applies to ziva? Mar says, no. Lo salka daitach desanya achirim omrim. The pasuk says, hazav es zovo la zachar v'la nikeva. At the end of Parshas Mitzora, the Torah describes the concept of a zav and a zava for a man and a woman. The Gemara says, makish zovo lo. We compare the ziva itself to the man who emits the ziva. Namely, mahu lo chilakta bein maga o lamasa o letame adam ulatame vegadim av zovo king. Just as we don't draw distinctions within the zav himself, namely, if you touch a zav, or if you sit on a bed that a zav sat on, or whatever it is, so then not only do you become tame, but your clothing become tame as well. So the same is true for the ziva itself. If you touch the ziva, if you carry the ziva, not only do you become tame, but your clothing become tame as well. So the Gemara says, okay, vahashta denafkalan mehazav es zovo. So if I already know that the ziva itself is metame, we just proved from this pasuk the hazav es zovo la zachar v'la nekeva. That proves to me that just as the zav himself is metame, so too the ziva itself is metame. Why do I need an additional pasuk that says zovo tame to teach me the same thing? We just proved that the ziva itself is metame. So says the Gemara, no. Amar Rav Yehuda mi diskarta itchrich. We still need zovo tame. Why? Because sal kedaita chamina. I would have said this is the logic that we quoted earlier back on the bottom of Amud Aleph. I would have brought back to life the logic of the Seir Lazazel. I would have said, well, the person carrying him becomes Tameh, even though the Seir itself remains Tahar. So therefore, maybe I would have drawn the same parallel to the case of Ziva. I would have said that the Ziva itself is Tahar, even though the person emitting the Ziva is going to be Tameh. So the Gemara says, V'im Yishrim Hazav Ez Zovo Limin Yana Hudasa. And if you're going to tell me that the source, that Ziva is Metameh, is from that first pasuk we quoted of the Hazav es Zovo, the Gemara says that's not a valid source that Ziva is Tamei, because that pasuk is teaching me a different halacha, namely that after a certain number of emissions, a man becomes Tamei even if the emission happens for reasons beyond his control. Right? For example, when it comes to a woman becoming a Zava, she becomes Tamei regardless of whether she was bleeding for reasons beyond her control or not. Whereas for Ziva, as we'll see in a second, there's going to be a distinction depending on what number emission you're up to. So the Gemara explains, Zov Chad, Zovo Tarte, Uveshlishi Akshe Rachamana Lenekeva. So by the third emission, by the time a man has a third emission, we now say, regardless of whether this third emission came for reasons beyond your control or not, you are going to be Tamei, just as a woman is Tamei as a Zava, even if she bleeds for reasons beyond her control. Therefore, the Gemara says, Kasav Rachamana Zovo Tamei, we need the Pasuk of Zovo Tamei to teach me that Ziva itself is Metame. Because you can't learn that Ziva is Metame from V'hazav ez Zovo, because that teaches me the fact that by the third emission, a man is Tame as a Zav, even though the emission is for reasons beyond his control. V'hashta da'amar rachamana Zovo Tamehu, drush v'nami hai. Now that the Torah says Zovo Tame, we can also learn this other halacha, namely the number of emissions that cause a person to become Tame, even when the Ziva is happening for reasons beyond his control. Okay, then the Mishnah said viharuk. The Mishnah said that spit of a zav is only metame when it's moist and not when it's dry. So asks the Gemara, ruk menolat. Disani, the pasuk says v'chiyaruk. When a zav spits, so it makes you tame. So the Gemara says yachal af al pisha lo naga. I would have said that a zav makes you tame when he spits in your general vicinity, even if the spit doesn't actually touch you. Where it says no, talmud lomar batahor ad sheyiga batahor. No, the spit has to actually touch the person who's tar. So the Gemara says okay, ainly. We'll see what the Havamino is. So I only know that spit has to touch the person directly to make him tame. How do I know the same is true for mucus, phlegm, nasal fluids, all these other things? The Gemara says Talmud Lomar v'chi yarok. So the words v'chi, the va v'chi yarok includes any sort of mucus, phlegm, any sort of, you know, thing that comes out of the zav's body. Amar mar yachal afal pi shelo naga mehechatesi. Right, Billy's question. Why would I have thought that if the spit of a zav doesn't touch the other person, that he becomes tummy? What was the havamina? Mara says, no. Salkadaitachamina, I might have said, Nelaf rok mi yavama. We can learn a xerashava from a yavama. Ma hasam afalpi delonaga, af hachanami delonaga, kamash malan. By a yavama, when the halacha of a yavama doing rikika, spitting during the process of chalitza, so the halacha is the spit doesn't have to hit the yavam, right? So I could have said, maybe the guy becomes tummy even if the spit doesn't hit him. Kamash malan, that it's not true, that it has to actually touch the other person in order for him to become tame. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ve'ema. What was that?
Actually, from your
Again, this is a Gzera Shava, right? So a Gzera Shava doesn't operate based on logical context. It's just if I find the same word in two different places and I have a Masora, so that's the basis for a Gzera Shava, right? Okay, so the Gemara now wants to know, Ve'emar hani mile b'maga, avo b'masalo, midi dahava asheretz. Maybe we could argue that a person only becomes tame for touching the spit or the mucus or the phlegm or all these things of a zav, but maybe if I carry them without touching it, perhaps I should not become tame, just as we said before in the case of a sheretz. I'm only tame for touching a sheretz, not for carrying it. So
when
the Gemara,
in a container
of some sort. Yeah, exactly. So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, Amar Kra, Ba Tahor, Ma Shebiyat Tahor, Timesi Lecha. The Torah says that which is Tahor in your hand, meaning to say you're not actually touching it, you're merely carrying it. So the Torah says, Hashem says, I am going to make that tame for you, meaning the pasuk is now defiling something which is merely carried. Okay, so the Gemara now asks the same question we asked earlier. The ema v'masa metame adam uvegadim v'maga adam letame begadim lo letame midi dahava maga nevela. Why don't we use that same parallel of an avela we said before? Namely, if I touch the spit or the mucus, etc. of a zav, so then only I become tame, but not my clothing. If I carry it, so then maybe me and my clothing should become tame. That's what the Gemara suggests. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Reish Lakish v'chein tana devei Rabbi Yishmael. So in other words, the Gemara explains that a form of tahara that the Torah says that I said was tahara in a different context, I'm declaring to be tame over here. Namely, the case of maga nevela. Touching a nevela normally only makes you tame, but not your clothing. So the Torah is mechadish over here in the context of the spit and the mucus of the zav, that not only by touching it do you become tame, but your clothing become tame as well. So the Gemara says, okay, the ema kemasa de sheretz. Why don't we treat it like carrying a sheretz, which we said before is nothing, right? Carrying a sheretz doesn't make you tame, only touching a sheretz does. The Gemara says, no. Imkein nichtov kraba adam. Mai betahor shma mina tarte. The fact that the Torah specifies the chiyarok hazav batahor, that the zav is spitting in the direction of a tahor person, not just a regular person, that implies, number one, that the spit actually has to touch the person, and also that carrying it is not enough to make him tummy. Okay, then we said in the Mishnah, Umei Ha'af. So, my Me'af, what are these nasal fluids? So, Amar Rav, Benegrorin Derech HaPeh, Lefi She'i Efsher LeMei Ha'af, Belo Tzichtzuche Haruk. It basically referred to nasal fluids that can eventually come out of your mouth, because if it's coming out of your mouth, by definition, it's going to be mixed with spit as well. We already know that spit of a zav is metame. The Rabbi Yochanan Amar says, no, Afilu Benegrorin Derech HaChotem. Even if the fluids are just coming out of your nose, they're still metame. So, Alma Kasavar Mayanu Verachman Arabia. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, nasal fluids also, it's a chiddush haTorah that they qualify as a fluid of a zav to make the person tameh. So asks the Gemara, V'rav nachshuv nami dimas, you know, why doesn't Rav consider tears of a zav to also be metameh? What's the basis for that? Why would Rav say that tears of a zav should be metameh? To Amar Rav, Haiman divay delistame le'ene. If a person, for some reason, wants to blind himself, likchome ovei kochavim, he should get his eyes painted over from a non-Jew, because the assumption was that the non-Jew was going to add substances that will cause you to go blind. The Levi Amar, Haiman divay delimus, likchome ovei kochavim. Levi says, if you go to the non-Jew, he's going to kill you because he's going to add poisonous substances to the stuff that he's going to put over your eyes. The Gemara is not saying that you should do this. It's just saying if you go to a non-Jew, these things may happen to you. Why does Rav not subscribe to Levi's version? Meaning, why does Rav not assume that having the non-Jew paint over your eyes is going to kill you? Why does he just say that it's going to cause you to, in other words, that it's going to cause you to go blind? So the Gemara says, presumably, because Rav says that any poisonous substances that might be found in this mixture that the guy is going to put over your eyes can be emitted through your mouth. So if that's the case, that means that Rav should say that tears are metame because they go through your mouth and they should mix with the saliva, like we said before. So the Gemara says, no, v'rav nehi dezira nafik dimasa gufalo nafik. It's true that the poisonous part of that substance you can emit through your mouth and therefore spare your life, but the tears itself are not going to be emitted through the mouth, and therefore that's why Rav doesn't consider tears to be something which is metame. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tashma, Tisha Mashkin Hazavin. There are nine cases of liquids or bodily fluids that make a zav, or in certain cases a zava tame. So the Gemara explains, Hazeya v'halicha tsrucha v'harei tohorin miklum. So when it comes to sweat, when it comes to like this infected, a pus that comes from a wound, not blood, but just like the pus from a wound, or feces, those are completely tar from a zav or a zava. What about dimas eno v'dama gifaso v'chalav ha'isha? This middle category are tears, is blood from a wound, and breast milk from a woman who's a zava. So in these three cases, they're not tame like regular emissions from or fluids from a zava or a zava, but they are machshir lekabel tuma. Meaning, if you have at least a revius of any of these liquids, and they come into contact with an apple or whatever it is, that apple is now susceptible to becoming tame. And in the final category, avol zovo ruko meme raglav mitame tuma chamura. Right, but the ziva, the spit, and the urine, that's metame to the highest degree. That's just regular tuma. The ilu meha aflo katane. And for some reason, the Gemara says that the example of the nasal fluids was omitted from the brisa. So the Gemara explains, Bishlam le rav lo katane, de lo psikale le misne zimnin de ase derech hapev, zimnin de ase derech hachotem. I understand, according to Rav, why the example of nasal fluids were left out of this brisa, because as we said before, sometimes the nasal fluids don't come out of the mouth, sometimes they come out of the nose, which obviously means that according to Rav, things that only come out of the nose are not metame, against what Rabbi Yochanan said. Right? That was the machlokas we had before. But El or Rabbi Yochanan, listen, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even things that are only coming out of the nose are metame, so why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan list the case of meha'af, of nasal fluids in the brisa? So the Gemara says, well, hang on a second, but according to your logic, koho v'nil mikatane, why does the brisa, in other words, why does the brisa not list, let's say, mucus and phlegm? Right? Mucus and phlegm also should be things that are metame because they come out of the mouth. So the Gemara says, no, Elatat.
What?
According, in other words, again, that's only according to Rav. According to Rabbi Yochanan, remember we said even things that come exclusively out of the nose are metame. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elatana rok v'chol da'asa meribuya, hachanami tana ruko v'chol da'asa meribuya. Meaning anything that's included in the general category of spit, or anything that's part of that pasuk. So it doesn't literally have to be coming out of the mouth. Anything which is considered a bodily fluid basically is going to be included in that pasuk. So now the Gemara wants to find sources for all of these things. So the Gemara says dimas What's the source that tears are not metame at all? So the pasuk in Tehillim says that Hashem says, I'm going to feed you an abundance of tears. In Parshas Balak, one of the brachos that Balak gives, he says, you're going to drink the blood of the slain corpses. So the Gemara says, what's the difference if a person was completely killed or merely wounded? Meaning blood is blood. So the assumption is that that blood is going to be enough to be machshir lekabel tuma. Chalav ha'isha dechsev atiftach es nod hechalav v'atashkeu. That's from Sefer Shoftim when Yael gives the milk to Sisera. So the pasuk says that she opens up the flask of milk and gives him to drink. So these psukim are all sources that these three liquids are machshir lekabel tuma. What about meme raglav minal? How do we know that urine of a zav is metame desanya zovo tame vizos lerabos meme raglu vatuma. That pasuk zovo tame, and then it says vizos. That teaches me that urine of a zav is metame. So asks the Gemara v'halo dinu. Why do I need a pasuk to teach me that the urine of a zav is metame? Isn't it just a kavachomer? Uma rokabami mekom tahara tame meme raglu v'avani mekom tame eno din sheyehu tamein. The Gemara says that spit comes from a tahor part of the body, and yet it's tame. Urine comes from a part of the body that potentially could be tame, because if there's ziva coming from that part of the body, then the man is going to become tame. And yet, so the Gemara says, so kal v'chomer, urine for sure should be tame. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof. Dam ha-yotzei mipi ha'ama yochiyah. We're gonna disprove your claim from the case of blood that comes out of the penis. Why? Sheba mimakum tame vitar. Because blood that comes from the penis, it's coming from a tame place, and yet the blood itself is still tahar. And the Gemara says, atha ta'al tismal seh, she'atha pi sheba mimakum tuma yihiyah tahar. That you see that just because it comes from a tame place, it still means, that, in other words, the blood itself is still tahar. Gemara says, Talmud lomar. So that teaches me that meme raglov is still going to be tame. So now the Gemara says, we'll try to go to two dots. So the Gemara says, how do I know that blood that comes from the penis is still tahar? And I could have argued that blood that comes from either the mouth of a zav or the penis of a zav is going to be tame. Talmud lomar zovo tamehu. Who tame the ain dam hayotze mi pivu mi piha ama tame elatar. The Gemara says, no, you see the blood that comes from the mouth of the penis of a zav is not metame. So the Gemara asks, ve'ipachana, why don't I say the opposite? Meaning, why don't I say that the urine of a zav is tahar, but the blood that comes from the mouth of the penis is tame? The Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, dumya derok. Ma rok she misagel viyotze, afko she misagel viyotze, yotzadam she'in misagel viyotze. Right, so the Gemara says that spit is unique because it gathers up before it comes out, but blood just comes out in short spurt. So Gemara says, okay, v'ari cholav shebi'isha shemesagil v'yotzei, v'amar mar cholav shebi'isha metame tumas mashkin in avolo tumachamura. What about breast milk? So breast milk, apparently the Gemara says, gathers up before it comes out, and yet we said in the Gemara before that breast milk is only going to make something susceptible to becoming tame, but it itself is not tame. But the question is, why not? If it's mesagil v'yotzei, then the breast milk itself of a zava should be tame. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai dum yedarok, ma rok mesagil v'yotzei v'chozer v'nivla, afko mesagel v'yotzei v'chozer v'nivla, yotzadam sheinu mesagel v'yotzei, yotzacholav shebe'isha sha'af alpisha mesagel v'yotzei, eno chozer v'nivla. The difference is that breast milk can never go back in afterwards. That's the difference. The Gemara says that there have to be two factors in order for it to be tummy. Number one, it has to gather together, and number two, it has the potential, theoretically, to go back into the body, like spit. Well, in other words, like spit, theoretically, you could suck the spit back in, whereas breast milk, you can't. So the Gemara asks, okay, v'nilaf mizovo, mazovo she. But what about ziva? Ziva is something which doesn't gather together and it still makes you tame. So why don't I say that this whole rule about misagil v'yotze is not true? Because ziva seems to defy that whole rule. And where it says, no, amarava mizovo leka lamela shekin gorim tumaliachir. Ziva is a terrible example because ziva is so chamor that it causes the person emitting the ziva himself to become tame. So you can't prove anything from ziva, and therefore you still need the liquids to be misagil v'yotze, to gather up before they make you tame. Okay.
Shkoyach. Amazing.